If you all please have a seat, we're going to call the meeting to order. And want to thank you all for attending our August 12th board meeting, the first and only board meeting of the month of August. The tradition, the board does not hold a second meeting in August. We have one meeting in two and all our other months. So if you would now join us in the Pledge of Allegiance and remain standing for an invocation for Captain Dean Collins.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy and kindness, and we thank you for the blessings of peace we enjoyed today and took for granted. Father, we pray that you watch over and protect the brave men and women of our military tonight as they serve to keep us safe and allow us to continue living in the environment of freedom and safety that we enjoyed today. Father, bless the many county employees who work hard every day to keep our county a place where we can live without undue concerns over our health, our welfare, and our safety. Father, may your watch care shelter the personnel of our police, fire, and sheriff departments, give wisdom to the executives of each department that they might lead the men and women under their authority with prudence and discernment. Father, may your hand of divine omniscience guide and direct our Board of Supervisors as they provide oversight and direction to our community. Father, that we might continue to prosper and be blessed. Direct us now, I pray, according to thy holy purpose and will. Amen and amen. Amen.
All right, the next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes, and Ms. O'Bannon has indicated she hadn't received or had a chance to...
I apologize for that. I blame this sometimes on my fax machine, but I do believe I've got another problem with it. But I found about yesterday that I hadn't received some of the paperwork that had come through, and this is one of them. Failed to get those extra sent to me today, and so I apologize. I haven't had a chance to read the minutes. So I would like to move that we defer the regular and special minutes, the approval of the regular and special minutes for July 22nd.
Move that be addressed in the September
meeting.
September
meeting.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
All right. Moved and second that the minutes be deferred for action until our September 9th meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay. Mr. Mayor, do you have any comments this evening?
I have no comments this evening, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Board members, any board member have comments they'd like to make?
Yes, there's some scouts here from Troop 702, and if they would please stand and introduce themselves and tell us what badge you're working on tonight. Very good. So what in your communication? Thank you for coming. I know you're going to learn something tonight.
Where do they meet?
Where do you meet? Second man. Very good. Thank you for coming.
All right. Next, I'd like to recognize the news media here this evening. Melody Martin from the Times-Dispatch, and Tom
Lapis. I'm a Unracked citizen. Thank you all for being here. And now, let's see, I guess that moves us into the agenda proclamation.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we have one proclamation this evening. This is for payroll week, which would be September the 1st through the 5th, 2008. I'm going to ask several individuals to come forward. Mr. Timothy Massenberg, who is our payroll supervisor within the Department of Finance, County Division, and also the government liaison to the Virginia chapter of the American Payroll Association. He will be joined by Marta Sorensen, the payroll accountant, and Deanna Vargas, an account clerk, too, within the Department of Finance Accounting Division, and also Mr. David Gim, who's the Deputy Director of Finance. Presentation will be made by Mr. David A. Keck, Chairman of the Board of Supervisors.
This is a very, very popular group here. I don't know what we do without them. They help make government run smoothly, and so I'd like to read this proclamation proclaiming payroll week for September 1 through September 5, 2008, although we appreciate the work you do all year long. Let me read this and give you a copy. Whereas the American Payroll Association and its 23,000 members have launched a nationwide public awareness campaign that pays tribute to the more than 156 million people who work in the United States and the payroll professionals who support the American system of paying wages, reporting worker earnings, and withholding federal employment taxes, and whereas payroll professionals in Henrico County, Virginia play a key role in maintaining the economy health of this community, performing such diverse tasks as paying into the unemployment insurance system, providing information for child support enforcement, and carrying out tax withholding, reporting, and depositing. And whereas payroll departments collectively spend more than $15 billion annually complying with myriad federal and state wage and tax laws, and whereas payroll professionals significantly contribute to the economic security of American families by helping to identify non-custodial payments of parents and making certain that they comply with and their child support mandates, and whereas payroll professionals are dedicated to educating the business community and the public at large about the payroll tax withholding system, and whereas payroll professionals meet regularly with federal and state tax officials to discuss improving compliance with governmental procedures and how compliance can be achieved at less cost to government and business, and whereas the American Payroll Association has designated the week in which Labor Day falls as National Payroll Week, now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Board of Supervisors of Henrico County, Virginia hereby recognizes September 1 through September 5, 2008 as payroll week and encourages Henrico citizens to support the efforts of local payroll professionals who work to ensure excellence in the administration of payrolls. So that says it all. Thank you very much for what you do in this proclamation signed by Chairman Dave Cackley and Clerk Barry Lawrence. So congratulations on a great job you do.
Okay. I'll bring you the samples.
Okay. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, the next two items, one a resignation and one an appointment. First item, 225-08, is a resolution. This is for the acceptance of a resignation of the Deputy Clerk of the Board of Supervisors. This paper accepts the resignation of Linda B. Jones as Deputy Clerk of the Board of Supervisors. The motion would be in order.
Second.
Move the resolution.
Second.
Moved by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Thornton, that we accept this resignation by this resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That's okay.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, as the ladies and gentlemen in the audience may not know, Ms. Jones has been the deputy clerk to the Board of Supervisors, and she is retiring. The next paper, 226-08, is a resolution. This is for appointment of the deputy clerk of the Board of Supervisors. This paper appoints Tanya B. Harding as the deputy clerk to the Board of Supervisors for a term expiring when her successor shall have been appointed and qualified. The motion would be moved.
Move the resolution.
Second.
All right. Moved by Mr. Thornton and second by Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. And Ms. Harding is already here.
Chairman, members of the board, we enter into your public hearing agenda for this evening. First item is rezoning cases and provisional use permits. The first item, 346-07, being C-48C-07 in the Brooklyn District. This is Entropy. It is a request to conditionally rezone from R3, one family residence district, to B2C, business district conditional. Approximately 1.4 acres located at the northwest corner of the intersection of Staples Mill and Old Staples Mill. The request has been made, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, to defer this item until October 14th.
Okay. is there anybody in the audience who would object to the deferral of this zoning case until October 14th? Anybody?
Mr. Chairman, seeing no objection to a deferral, I want to recommend we follow the request of the applicant and defer this case until October the 14th.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Mr. Glover, second by Mr. Thornton to defer this zoning case C-48-07 until our October 14th meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That's case deferred.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, 227-08 being C-9C-08 in the Verona District. This is Secure Hands Holding. It is a request to conditionally rezone from R4, one family residence district, to R6C. General Residence District Conditional, a little over 6 acres, located on the east line of East Richmond Road, and approximately 216 feet north of Nine Mile Road, and also on the north line of Nine Mile Road, at approximately 290 feet east of East Richmond Road. Planning Commission did vote to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Mr. Emerson.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. C9-08 is a request to rezone to allow the development of 119 room assisted living Alzheimer's care facility near the northeast corner of Nine Mile Road and East Richmond Road. Commercial uses are located to the south and residential uses surround the site to the east, north, and west. The 2010 land use plan recommends office for the site. As illustrated on this proffered conceptual plan, the applicant wishes to construct a 72,000 square foot building accessed from both Nine Mile Road and East Richmond Road. These proffered elevations submitted by the applicant show a two-story structure with exterior walls constructed primarily of brick. In addition to developing in conformance with the conceptual plan, landscape plan, and building elevations, the applicant's proffers also include a maximum of 119 residential rooms, prohibition of numerous R6 uses, generator and refuse screening, specified test hours for the generator, which are 3 hours per month between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., perimeter buffers and tree save areas, limit building height 35 feet, and security and emergency preparations for the facility. An assisted living facility is primarily residential in character and could be compatible with surrounding development. Therefore, the proposed use would be an appropriate alternative to the office use designated by the 2010 land use plan. The applicant has provided commitments for quality features to mitigate potential impacts. For these reasons, the proposed project could be an appropriate alternative to the 2010 plan's office designation, and staff supports this request. The Planning Commission at its July 10th meeting also recommended approval. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try and answer them. And the applicant is here as well if you have any questions of them.
Any questions by board members?
Mr. Unser, how many of these facilities presently exist?
Actually, there are several in the county, and I did pull that information this afternoon. In the county, I believe there are approximately five. I'm not sure if I found all of them. Now, they vary in the type of care that they provide. Some provide Alzheimer's and other assisted living type of care. Others provide strict Alzheimer's or strict assisted living. And it's hard to tell exactly what types of facilities, but Alzheimer's in particular, I believe we have approximately five. And we also, within the region, there are 9 or 10 that specialize directly in Alzheimer's. And, of course, the number exceeds that when you consider the mixture. So there are a number of these facilities in the area.
Also, follow-up question to that, geographically in the county, do you have an idea of where they exist?
Geographically, they're primarily in the western end of the county. There's a facility, actually almost the exact same design, located on the corner of Parham and Woodman. Parham and Woodman, yes, sir. And that, I believe, provides Alzheimer's and other assisted care. It's a mixed population. It's almost the exact same design with an interior courtyard, and I believe it's been there about 6 years.
Okay. Thank you very much.
What is the name of that facility? I think I know what you're talking about.
At the corner of Parham and Woodman, right off the top of my head, Ms. O'Bannon, I'm not sure.
Okay, I believe I went into it when they opened it. I'm just trying to remember.
Yeah. Very nice facility.
The exact same facility, I recall.
Okay. Any other questions by board members?
Mr. Chairman, if you see if anyone in the audience has any questions or in opposition to.
All right. This is a public hearing. Is anybody in the audience here tonight that may be in opposition or have any questions regarding this proposed zoning in the Bryanna district? Anybody in opposition? Need any questions answered?
Seeing that, Mr. Chairman, I think this is a very much needed service for the eastern part of the county. Very well thought out with the design, and I think it's going to really be an asset to the community. So with that, I'd like to file a recommendation to the Planning Commission and grant the request.
Okay.
Moved by Mr. Donati and second by Mr. Thornton to approve the requested zoning. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed no. It's also been granted.
Next item, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, 228-08, which is C-23C-08 in the Treetop District. This is HCA Health Services of Virginia. It's a request to amend profit conditions accepted with rezoning case C-59C-03. Located approximately 600 feet south of Forest Avenue and 350 feet west of Skipworth Road. Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I do need to mention now that my husband is on the, I think it's the Board of Directors for him, for Henrico Doctors, and this, so I will be abstaining in this case.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Manager. As you noted, C-23-08 is a request to amend proper conditions relating to building height for the proposed expansion of the Henrico Doctors Hospital Forest Avenue campus. A portion of the expanded hospital building would exceed the currently proper height restriction of 50 feet. Proper number 2 would be amended to state no building constructed on the property within 90 feet of parcel 761-744-2028, which is the parcel containing Treetop Elementary School, shall exceed 50 feet in height. All other properties from the original case would remain in their original form. The Planning Commission approved POD 4308 on June 25th of this year. Conditions of the approval for the hospital expansion require proffer number 2 to be amended prior to issuing any building permit for a structure exceeding 50 feet in height. The requested amendment would address this condition and allow the increased building height shown on the POD while still providing adequate setbacks for the protection of the adjacent elementary school. The POD reflects building heights of 58 feet and the potential of an additional two stories in the future, which would bring the ultimate height to 86 feet. Although not entirely consistent with the 2010 land use plan's government designation for the site, the request would be consistent with the property's existing zoning and a logical expansion of the hospital campus. Again, while the proposed hospital expansion on the subject site is not quite consistent with the 2010 land use plan, staff believes this request would permit the logical expansion of the existing hospital facilities. The proper conditions would continue to minimize any potential impacts to surrounding uses, and staff supports this request. The Planning Commission at its July 10th meeting also recommended approval. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try and answer them. There is a representative of the hospital here as well.
Okay. This has not been controversial, and the schools, this property was originally owned by the schools?
Yes, sir, it was, and it transferred. It was purchased from the schools, and I've got the date of transfer. It transferred on March the 3rd, 04.
Right, and this is really on the extreme edge of the property anyway.
Yes, sir, it is.
And the school has no problem with this height increase?
My understanding is that the applicant met with Mr. Armand DeLeon and Mr. Al Soroki,
right,
representing the schools, and they went on site and viewed what was proposed, and I have heard of no reservations,
right,
being brought forward by the school system.
So the schools don't object, and no other property owners in the area have objected?
There was a community meeting held, and there were no attendees.
That's good. Okay. It's a pretty straightforward case, but is there anybody in the audience here that may object or have any questions they want answered prior to voting on this amendment change, one single amendment? Seeing none, I guess a motion would be in order to approve that proper change and following the recommendation of the Planning Commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we follow the recommendation of the Planning Commission and grant the request.
All right. Moved by Mr. Zanotti.
Second.
Second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed no. And Ms. O'Bannon.
One abstention. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, 229-08, BP-12-08 in the Fairfield District. This is Selco Partnership. It is a request for a provisional use permit under Chapter 24 of the County Code in order to extend the height of an existing 154-foot-high telecommunications tower to a total height of 166 feet to provide additional co-location opportunities. This is located on the south line of Hilliard Road and approximately 360 feet west of its intersection with Brook Road or U.S. Route 1. The Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Mr. Emerson.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. As you noted, P-1208 is a request to extend the height of an existing 154-foot-high lattice telecommunications tower to 166 feet to allow the location of an additional user. The existing tower is located at 1207 Hilliard Road behind the Lakeside Moose Lodge building. The site is zoned B3, which allows communication towers over 50 feet with the approval of a provisional use permit. Surrounding uses include Lakeside Legion Post 125, Brook Run Independent Living, which is under construction, and Belmont Golf Course located across Hilliard Road. The existing tower was allowed by provisional use permit P-9-98. The conditions of that case permitted a 160-foot-high tower, but required the tower design and foundation to be constructed to support an extension up to 199 feet to allow additional future users. In addition, the construction of the tower was contingent upon the approval of a variance to seek relief from the 110% setback required from the adjacent residential district to allow the ultimate height of 199 feet. The Board of Zoning Appeals granted the necessary variance in May of 1998. The lease area would be expanded to accommodate additional ground equipment and access through the adjacent parking lot to Hilliard Road. The proposed ground equipment would be located within a fenced enclosure and landscaped to buffer visual impacts. The 2010 land use plan recommends open space and recreation for the site. The request is consistent with the 2010 land use plan and the county's preference to encourage antenna co-location where appropriate, rather than new tower construction. The intent of a higher tower was contemplated with the original provisional use permit, and staff believes the site continues to be an acceptable location. Staff supports the request, subject to the conditions recommended in the staff report. The Planning Commission recommended approval of this request at the July 10th, 2008 meeting. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them. There's also representatives of the applicant as well, if you have questions.
Okay. Did you say that the original structure was designed structurally to accommodate this additional?
Yes, sir. It was designed to go up to 199 feet and accommodate additional users. Mm-hmm. Currently, I believe there are 6 antenna arrays, and they go up in approximately 10-foot intervals.
So you don't have to modify the...
No, sir. The only thing that needs to happen is an extension at the top.
Okay. Questions by board members? Any further questions?
Chairman, do you see any opposition to this case?
Okay. This, again, is a public item for discussion, and anybody in the audience has any questions or concerns or opposition to this proposed cell tower extension in the Fairfield District? Anybody? Looks like it's been pretty well worked out.
Not seeing any, Mr. Chairman. I would move that we follow the recommendation of the Planning Commission and grant the request.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion by Mr. Thornton, seconded by Mr. Glover to approve provisional use permit B-1208. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. And then that also is approved.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 230-08, being C-24C-08 in the Brooklyn District. This is Sam's Real Estate Business Trust. It is a request to conditionally rezone from B-2 Business District to B-3 Business District Conditional. Approximately 0.14 acres located on the north line of West Broad Street and approximately 775 feet east of Old Springfield Road. Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Mr. Dennison.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. C-24-08 is a request to rezone 1,400ths of an acre located directly adjacent to the Sam's Club fueling station from B-2 to B-3C to allow the construction of approximately 2,300 square foot car wash. The B-2 district allows a car wash with a single bay with a special exception at the time of DOD, but limits its size to 800 square feet. The size of the proposed facility necessitates this request. The subject site is surrounded by B-2 zoning. The request is consistent with the 2010 land use plan recommendation of commercial concentration. The applicant has submitted proffers addressing the quality of the proposed building and to regulate the operation of the proposed use. Specifically, the proffers address the following. The car wash building would be a maximum of 20 feet in height and would be constructed in conformance with this conceptual elevation. The proposed construction materials would be in keeping with those used on the existing Sam's Club buildings. Use limitations. Uses would be limited to the allowed B2 uses as they currently are, with the exception of the car wash allowance. Hours of operation would be limited to 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. No outdoor speakers, storage, vending, or vacuums would be permitted on the property. Additionally, the submitted proffers address items such as mechanical equipment and dumpster screening. In conclusion, the request is consistent with the 2010 land use plan's recommendation and, as proffered, would be compatible with surrounding developments. Staff supports the request, and the Planning Commission recommended approval of C-24-08 at the July 10th, 2008 meeting. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try and answer them.
Is this spot zoning?
No, ma'am, it's not, because the land use plan calls for commercial zoning at this location. So it's really just a mixture of commercial zonings. It's not a spot zoning.
So I know we've had something like this that has come up before in a shopping center where one portion of it, mm-hmm, was pulled out and given a different zoning, and those people moved on. It was kind of a mess. I've had two of those cases.
As long as it's consistent with the land use plan recommendation and falls within a commercial zoning, I think you can move within commercial categories without it being a spot zoning.
Well, because it's happened twice, mm-hmm. and since I've been on the board where I had to review the whole case and make some changes. So.
Well, in this case, of course, it's restricted to B2 uses except for the car wash and the size of the car wash.
Okay. Have they made any comments as to membership use of it? I believe that's what it is. It's,
yes, sir. It is membership use only.
Only members of the
of Sam's Club.
Okay.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Let's see if there's any opposition to Mr. Cackler.
Okay. This is a public hearing. Anybody in the audience here tonight is in opposition or would like to comment on this proposed zoning change for the addition of the car wash? Anybody?
Hearing no opposition, Mr. Chairman, I move that we follow the recommendation of planning commission and grant the case with the conditions that were on it.
All right. Motion by Mr. Glover and second by Mr. Thornton that we approve the zoning request. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. And that is also approved.
Continuing on, Mr. Chairman, with your other items on your public hearing agenda, the first one is 231-08. This is an ordinance for signatory authority. This is the Chief Elected Officials Agreement for the creation of the Capital Area Workforce Partnership, which was explained to you this afternoon in work session. Mr. Drumlight will be making the presentation.
This board paper for the board tonight will allow Henrico County to join the other seven jurisdictions that have decided to take the Capital Area Workforce Investment Board, which represents seven counties, and combine it with the City of Richmond's Independent Workforce Board. As explained to you in the work session, this is the very first step. It has been a long step, been discussed for many years, and we now have reached that point. The City of Richmond adopted the resolution on July 28th. Duquette County adopted it last night on August the 11th. We're scheduled to hear the paper tonight. Charles City will follow on August 26th. Chesterfield County, August 27th. Hanover County, August 27th. Richmond County, September the 2nd. In Powhatan County, September the 8th. Glad to answer any questions. It is public hearing time.
Okay. The board did have the opportunity to review this in rather detail in the work session.
Yes,
and any member of the board still have any further comments or questions? Okay. This also is a public hearing. Anybody in the audience who would like to ask a question or have any comments regarding this ordinance? If not, then a motion be in order.
Move the ordinance.
Second.
Move by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Denotti to approve this ordinance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Drummond. That's been a long effort, and we appreciate your efforts today. Thank you.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, still under your public hearing agenda, 232-08. This is an ordinance to amend and reordain Section 22-181 of the Code of the County of Henrico, federal distributing handbills, soliciting contributions, or selling merchandise in the highway, to include all highways located within the county. Chief Stanley will be making the presentation. As I indicated, Mr. Chairman, as we were finishing the work session, we do have some substitute paper for your consideration that simply clearly identifies or provides a definition for highways. Chief Stanley.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the proposal before you tonight amends and reordains the County Code Section 22-181. As written today, the code prohibits the distribution of handbills, soliciting contributions, or selling merchandise to drivers and passengers therein on secondary highways. The issue is that we are in need to change the ordinance to allow enforcement on all highways within the county, not just secondary highways. We have received numerous complaints from the public about people standing in the medians or in the highways and in such intersections as Broad and Parham, Staples Mill and Parham, Glenside and Parham, Patterson at Parham, Broad at Pontchartrain, and various locations on Mechanicsville Turnpike and Williamsburg Road. These individuals are distributing handbills, soliciting contributions, and or selling merchandise. The actions have created serious traffic issues such as impeding the traffic flow, creating fear in the minds of the public and diverting the attention of drivers from their primary task of operating a vehicle, as well as creating a danger to themselves. The proposed change would simply allow enforcement on all highways rather than just secondary highways in the county. Late this afternoon, a meeting with the county attorney and the assistant director of public works and myself revealed a legal issue regarding the term highways. I would like at this point to defer to Mr. Rappasotta, our county attorney, to explain that issue.
Thank you, Chief. Members of the board, the county manager indicated moments ago that substitute paper could be presented this evening, Mr. Chairman, to the board at the end of the public hearing. I wanted to briefly mention the reason for that. Highway is defined in Chapter 1 of the county code. It is not defined in this particular section. The definition that is in Chapter 1 of the code is very broad because it encompasses from property line to property line. And as the Department of Public Works has explained, the right-of-ways in Henrico vary in width. Depending on the location, you might have a right-of-way off the street paved area of, you know, a few feet, or you might have 20 or 30 feet off of the street. And I think to be more precise, having a meeting today with the chief and with Mr. Tim Foster, Assistant Director of Public Works, we of the belief, Mr. Chairman, we recommended to the manager, and I think he can state his agreement for himself here in a moment, that it would be appropriate to put a definition of highway into this section, Mr. Chairman, that we're talking about, which of course deals solely with distributing handbills, soliciting contributions, or selling merchandise. So, in short, we would have a definition for highway, Mr. Chairman, and the board members tailored to this section. That definition that we would propose, and I don't mean to get ahead of myself, but if I may, just to tell you what we've come up with, would be the entire width of a road or street, excuse me, that is improved, designed, or ordinarily used for vehicular travel, and the shoulder, the median, and the area between the travel lane and the back of the curb. The intent here, Mr. Chairman, again, is to get at the traffic safety problem and concern that Chief Stanley has gone over and that our citizens have indicated to us. I might mention that I myself have received a number of phone calls over the past year concerning this issue. I did not make a log of each and every one, but I would tell the board that I had probably half dozen phone calls indicating the types of things Chief Stanley has mentioned. I know there have been emails to the chief. There have been to various members of this board. The whole intent here is certainly to promote and protect the motoring public and the pedestrians who use the county sidewalks and use streets adjacent to streets. And we're trying here, Mr. Chairman, to have a balance. We want to protect them, and we also don't want to restrict folks who stand safely off the road. We want to hold a sign or engage in First Amendment activity, picketing, whatever it may be. So that's what we've analyzed. That's why from the county attorney's office, in conjunction with the Division of Police and Public Works, we've come up with this recommendation for you. I don't know that the manager may have anything to add or not. I have reviewed this with him prior to the board meeting tonight.
Okay. Then I'll let the manager comment. But one question, when you use the term highway, I mean, essentially you're talking about all public roads in Henrico County that includes subdivisions,
that
anything
is correct.
Is public, right?
That is correct. Street or road.
Some street highways that are considered to mean roads in every public thoroughfare.
That is correct.
Okay, that's pretty encompassing. Yeah.
May I ask a question, too, about when we say the back of the curb? What if a road doesn't have a curb?
Well, and that's why we have, and that's a very good question, Ms. O'Bannon, and that's true. Some roads do, some don't. That's why we also include the shoulder. It's going to have one or the other is the point. And when we talk about back of the curb, what we're really talking, I know those of you familiar with subdivision roads and streets know there's an area
that is between what I call the end of the travel lane and the actual curb. And the engineers have a term for that. The county manager can tell you, I think, the gutter pan, which really doesn't mean a whole lot to me. But it's an area I think the car is not supposed to go on, but I think most people would tell their children, don't walk out there. As a practical matter, you're in the roadway, in my opinion, and that's why we designed this definition to include that little area within highway. The point being, we've been very careful, at least we're trying to be very careful here, to be as precise as we can, both for our citizens who must obey this, and also for the division of police and the officers who want to go out and can have uniform enforcement and be consistent and not confused. That's part of the problem with the definition of highway that's elsewhere in our code. Because, as I indicate, that right-of-way line varies all over Henrico County, and it's confusing. And I think Mr. Foster, who cannot be here tonight, would tell you that he's had to give guidelines to the officers, Chief, you correct me if I'm wrong, or guidance, I should say, that assists the officers in enforcing. Again, let me point out, we've had this ordinance on the books for many, many years, as long as I've been the county attorney and before. What we've not had is we've not had it encompassing all highways, and that was the legislative effort you've heard about. And we've not had this precise definition in this section, which in my humble opinion will improve the county code for everyone.
I have another question.
Yes.
What if a Boy Scout troop, say, wants to have a car wash, and they want to hold up signs and say, come in for the car wash? Can they still do something like that?
If they're not in the road, Ms. O'Bannon, if they're back off of the curb on the sidewalk, for example, that would be fine. It would not be fine right there at that curb that I was talking about that we call the gutter pan as an engineer. But again, if they're back off the road, and for example, some roads, as you know, have sidewalks behind the curb, they would be fine on a sidewalk. They'd be fine, for example, in a service station parking lot, which you often see, a shopping center, but not in the road. And that, again, I think the idea here is traffic safety, whether it's a Boy Scout, Girl Scout, someone selling the Richmond newspaper, someone contributing, soliciting for the Kidney Foundation, whatever it is, traffic safety, in our opinion, is traffic safety, and we don't intend to discriminate among any group.
Okay.
There could be a little bit of a difficulty if the sidewalk is built within the right-of-way, couldn't there?
Well, under the old definition, Mr. Cat, that again, I think that's why this amendment is being proposed.
Well, right.
See, let me finish that thought. Without this definition that we've crafted, you couldn't stand on a sidewalk. You would be in violation, even though you may be well off the road and really not a hazard. That's part of what we're getting.
I think, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Rapsody, I know both your thought and his. The point is all sidewalks are located, or I'll say 99.9% of sidewalks are located in the public right-of-way.
Right.
And under a normal definition of a highway, that would encompass that sidewalk. What we have done here is create a definition that excludes the sidewalk and allows for this activity to take place on the sidewalk in the public right-of-way.
All right. That's good.
I need some clarification on what you just said. If a panhandler is asking for food or whatever, and he's on the sidewalk, will this ordinance allow him not to go into the roadway to receive money if he's standing on the sidewalk on his own?
That is correct, Mr. Donati. Again, we're trying to be sensitive to all of the issues involved here. What we must remember is roadways are designed for a specific purpose, and that is conveyance of vehicles. We all know that pedestrians and vehicles don't mix. And therefore, we have to be very, very careful. Ironically, this has been on the books for a number of years in reference to secondary roads, or what we would call the Henrico County system, but not upon major facilities in Henrico County, where most of the volume on roadways take place. What we're simply trying to do is to recognize the increase in volume, to recognize the dilemmas that we're facing at all of these intersections and even along the roadways, and provide what we believe is the best possible position, allowing individuals on this side of the road within the public right-of-way to use the facility, but not to use it within the confines of the roadway because that is definitely a public safety problem.
Okay. Is there any condition or provision to treat this type of activity on private roads and parking lots?
No, sir.
That's we can't enforce that.
I find it a little bit confusing for this reason. I've heard you define highway, but in RICO we have 40-foot right-of-ways, 44-foot right-of-ways, 50-foot right-of-ways, 66-foot right-of-ways, 80-foot right-of-ways, and 120-foot right-of-ways. How does that Boy Scout know which of those exist when there's no sidewalk and there's no curb? And I know that there are those that have shoulders that are no more than 6, 8, 10 inches wide before the ditch is there. How are they going to know that?
They're not, Mr. Glover, upon examination of any location. That is where we would have to assist in pointing that out to them and in providing that information. That's true of virtually all that we do, and you are correct. There are a number of widths of what we define and is legally defined as highways. What we're trying to do here is to create a functional definition for the use in this particular area that allows the usage of a portion of that public right-of-way, sidewalk and so forth, but does not allow the usage of the area which is for the conveyance of the vehicle.
Well, on a road that has a 36-foot with no curb, I'll use Mountain Road as an example. When they rebuilt it, they left 7-foot areas on the shoulders, and they defined it as for driver error. Can I stand in that 7 feet?
Not in the shoulder, sir, which is included in your new definition that you would not be allowed to stand on the shoulder. And again, the reason being there, the errant vehicles will encroach on that shoulder, and that is the purpose. You could stand in the public right-of-way behind the shoulders. Yes, sir.
Well, if you were behind the shoulder on Mountain Road, it's 36 feet wide for right-of-way, and 7 feet on either side, that's 50 feet, and the right-of-way is only 50 feet wide, so you'd have to stand on private property.
That is true, sir.
I would find it kind of confusing to the cheerleaders that want car washes and the Boy Scouts that want to sell various and sundry things. I find your definition of highway more suited for administration than it is for the people that are going to be. And I'd like to know, what's the penalty if someone is there soliciting for cheerleaders for, let's say, car wash?
What's the penalty?
It could be up to $250.
Well, what's the penalty? I know it could be legal time.
No, it's a traffic infraction, Mr. Glover, up to the maximum fine is $250.
Mm.
Now, again, without arguing, I don't mean to argue at all or sound like I'm arguing with the board, but I must state the definition crafted here is more liberal in terms of allowing the solicitation activity than what is currently in our county code. I want to make sure the board understands that.
I was about to say, Mr. Episoda, that if we did not do this, we would return to the normal and routine definition of a roadway as right-of-way to right-of-way, and they still don't know where it is. We're simply allowing a portion of that right-of-way to be used under this definition.
I think what I was doing is clarifying it for my benefit, because my next question is going to be why I've asked those questions.
Well, Mr. Glover,
can I ask a question?
No. There are a lot of questions.
I'm going to ask a question, Chief.
Yes, you can ask a question, but I'd like to. There are a lot of questions, but I'd like the Chief to be able to finish his presentation, because he may answer some before we get into all these general questions.
Well, I've led up to this one question.
Better answer it then. I better ask it.
I've forgotten what it is. No, I'm kidding. Chief, what we're dealing with those areas that we've defined as highway, is this a public safety item? In other words, is this because of making sure that the public is safe and that they're not going to get hurt and that type of thing? Are we dealing with public safety?
We are dealing with public safety.
Any other part of this ordinance, is it anything other than public safety?
Yes, I think there is.
Uh-oh, tell me what that is.
I think that deals with when people are parked, particularly in the left turn lanes, where they're sort of captured. As you know, the left turn lane is set longer than...
But is that public safety, though? It's still public safety.
Yes, sir. It is public safety.
The reason I ask you is because I don't remember in the years that I've been on the board and planning commission, I've tried very hard never to go against public safety, because what could happen in the future, I could look back and say, you know, had I voted with the public safety, this may not have happened or wouldn't have happened. And that's why I wanted to find all these things before I cast a vote.
Okay. Well, do you have
me to do that.
Okay. Do you have some more that you want to go through?
The only other part I wanted to add, Mr. Cackler, was that when we started discussing these issues, trying to define something for the officer really to be concrete information, we talked about the cheerleaders and we talked about the Boy Scouts and the newspaper sales and things of that nature, trying to come to a reasonable solution that we would keep people out of the travel portions of the highway. And that was basically one of the reasons we met again today.
Have we had any accidents of personnel, people, citizens? Have we had any accidents that any citizens have been hurt in the last 10 years?
None that I'm aware of.
I guess that's what government's for.
Well, we've had a lot of complaints about solicitors.
We have had a lot of complaints in relation to impeding traffic, setting free traffic lights because they were trying to either make a donation or move on.
Okay. Well,
no one's been hurt.
I can't absolutely tell you no one in the last 10 years. I'm not certain, Mr. Glover. I'm not certain.
Mr. Manager, do you know of any accidents of citizens?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I do not recall any accidents in my tenure here, but I can tell you that public safety on a roadway, we must remember again what the roadway is designed for, the conflicts that are created in many of the roadways. Remember, this has existed for a number of years in reference to the secondary system. You're talking about roadways that can be 4, 6, 8, and 10 lanes wide. We're talking about increases in volumes of traffic. Certainly, I cannot recall an accident up to this point in time, but I do believe with all of my experience, I have to tell you that roadways are designed not for conflict with pedestrians, but provision of conveyance of vehicles. That's the reason we have pedestrian safety aspects such as crosswalks and so forth. To allow a pedestrian into that public right-of-way does create a public safety hazard.
Would it be possible to write the ordinance that dealt with the travel lanes of traffic travel lanes? I truly understand not wanting people to walk out into the travel lanes and get caught out there and have to stand on the white line while the traffic is going by, but is it possible to write it to where it's not so complicated in defining where you can stand and where you don't can't stand?
I believe we've done that. With this ordinance, again, I know the definitions are confusing to you. I believe that we have done that, and in essence, it says stay out of the public roadway, the conveyance lanes or shoulders of the roadway.
Or medians.
Median being 4 feet wide in left turn lanes is not a place for someone to stand, walk to, or walk off of.
I can say the first phone call I got about this was from someone with a solicitation sign in the median on Patterson Avenue. And it was a young man, and the call I got was they'd almost hit him. So I can't say it happened, but that was their concern. It was also because they said he was very young, and they were concerned about that. So I just...
But, you know, in general, because I've seen an awful lot of this going on at the corner of Pontchartrain and Broad, solicitors have been in the medians and walking across the lanes, and car wash kids have been on the sidewalks where they get attention, but it's still legal to do that. I mean, that's pretty much the way that is operated. I mean, we had that sort of trouble with signs for
car washes, bake sales, and all that to us.
Yes, so we're not directing anything towards consideration of a message on the side of the roadway or the sidewalk. That is still permitted and will continue to be permitted.
For whatever. Good yes. cause.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask the manager this? Mr. Manager, as you know, our population has become much more urban and sophisticated. So when we do pass an ordinance, some people will analyze it and will come to different and sundry opinions. So what do we say to the people who may have some problem that this particular ordinance could be anti-humanity or against people who try to maybe help themselves? So what would your comments be to allay any fears about that type of thing?
Certainly, Mr. Thornton. I think that's part of what went into the discussion and the creation of the definition, that is allowing individuals for whatever purpose to remain on the side of the roadway where they are safe to do so. We also believe that entering those lanes, creating an interference with moving vehicular traffic, standing in the middle of a median that was never wide enough in the first place and having to get to that and off of that, does create a public safety issue. But again, looking at the sensitivity of all of the activities that we have going on in an urban area, as long as we permit them on the side of the road, I believe that we're taking the reasonable approach for both public safety and for the provision of those services.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is a complex issue, another further board question before I open this up.
I understand it pretty well, Liz.
Okay. Well, it is a public hearing, and anybody in the audience who is here would like to speak or has opposition questions or concerns, now would be the time to do that.
Mr. Chairman, as the gentleman comes forward, I will note to you that, there's two. I'll let the first gentleman speak. Come forward, sir, and identify yourself.
Chairman, Vice Chairman, board members, my name is George Robinson. I'm in the Fairfield District. In readdressing my communication to the board dated July 26, 2008, due to the aggressively soliciting of motorists at busy Henrico County intersections by citizens, and whereby on numerous occasions I observed solicitors leaving the medium strip at the intersection of Laburnum Avenue and Williamsburg Road, Laburnum Avenue and Nine Mile Road, Laburnum Avenue and Mechanicsville Turnpike, and walking through traffic three lanes over soliciting motorists, therefore becoming trapped in the roadway, standing on a 2 or 3 inch white road marking with cars going by in the front and in the back of the solicitor until he or she can make it back to the median strip, impeding the flow of traffic. Because of the hazards and the unsafe conditions which these solicitors create for themselves and motorists, I'm recommending that the board vote to prohibit solicitation on all Henrico County roads, state highways, secondary roads, curves, and intersections, whereby keeping Henrico County roadways safe and accident-free.
Thank you. Thank you. You're speaking in support of the ordinance as presented?
Yes, I'm a resident of Henrico, and I'm speaking in support in prohibiting solicitation on all roads.
Everything you've heard tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else as Mr. Silvestri comes towards the microphone? Mr. Chairman, members of the board, as I indicated in a fax to you last night and again at work session, Mr. Tom Silvestri, who is president and publisher of the Richmond Times-Dispatch, had requested an opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. It's good to be here and participate in government. We are appearing today in a request for a modification in the ordinance with full respect to the concerns of safety. We're not solicitors. We are lumped under the category of sellers, and we are selling a newspaper on Sunday in the median strip. I'm joined today by our circulation vice president, David Kirkland, our single copy manager, Scott Payne, and one of our sellers, Anthony Thompson. Just a couple of points. This is a relatively new practice for us. Usually we sell newspapers either by delivering to your house or in stores or in racks, but this is not a new practice in our industry. We've been doing this for about a year without any incident and been working closely with the police who monitor our activities, and Mr. Payne, our supervisor, is usually on the scene. We wear safety fluorescent green shirts. Would you like a model of the shirt?
Yes.
They're also available for sale at the Constance downtown. And we train our sellers to work at stoplights so that they are respectful of the safety conditions. As I mentioned, we work with police, and any guidance we would have hesitation accept that. All of our hawkers are over 18 years of age. An added bonus, we actually clean up the median strips after we leave, whether it's our trash or not. A side issue, Mr. Thornton, is the fact that we are a community business, and we have recognized that this is an opportunity to employ folks who are either trying to get back to a normal keel or need money. And this is an opportunity where they can use our flexible hours to sell newspapers on the median strip. On average, a hawker on Sunday earns about $50 a day with tips and without tips. And I want to mention tips because we have attracted a loyal constituency, and the transaction probably takes about 5 seconds, roll down window, hand over $2, get newspaper, go on. So there's no impeding of the traffic. Our modification, which we included in the letter, and thank you very much for mentioning it, requests that a modification be made along the lines of this verbiage: nothing in the order shall be interpreted to restrict the sale of newspapers or other activities similarly protected by the First Amendment. Again, whereas we are respectful of the public safety concerns, we are a reputable business trying to participate in a community that recognizes service and also businesses in RICO by many means a proponent of businesses that do it the right way. We think in working with the police, we have done that, and selling on the median strip is by no means standing in the middle of the road. Thank you for the opportunity to address you, and I wish you good luck.
Thank you. Excuse me, are these sales in just limited areas of the county, or are you planning to expand across the county, or where are you?
About 5 locations in the county. Mr. Payne, would you like to cite exactly where you are, since you're the man on the streets?
Basically, we are concentrated in the eastern portion of Henrico County, which I am a Verona resident there, Mr. Donati.
Yeah.
And we do work at the intersections of Williamsburg and Laburnum, 9 Mile and Laburnum, Mechanicsville and Laburnum, Cedar Fork and Creighton, and Magnolia and Mechanicsville. So we've been there for a year now without incident. We sell approximately 1,000 papers a Sunday, and we have regular, loyal customers who look out, seek out their favorite hawker, and it is a smooth transaction. During that period, we've had to train the public, of course, on how to purchase newspapers because it was something new to this market, and those people have become accustomed to making that transaction as seamless as possible. Whenever I'm out there most Sundays, just about every Sunday. I do seek out your officers if they are on the scene, and if there's any problems, anything we need to correct, we do so immediately. But for a period of a year, I have not had any incidents whatsoever with the Henrico County Police or with any patron. So.
Thank you.
Is there any location where they could pull off the road?
Yes, ma'am, and that happens quite frequently. You know, they might put them to a gas station or a shopping parking lot. You know, we try to make that transaction so we do not impede traffic whatsoever. You might have that occasional person that is a first-time buyer, and they might not know the routine and try to present a $20 bill. That does happen. I would be remiss if I tell you that never did happen. But it does happen.
No, but I mean, is there any location where you could position yourself so they could pull off and it would be a better location for their safety?
If there is that type of location available, naturally we would gravitate towards something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, we haven't had any incidents that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, the reason why we're there is because of the traffic. And high traffic. I mean, this has been done in many, many cities throughout the United States. You might want to also hear a personal story of, there's been a lot of references to solicitors. You might want to tell them about
Hello
with us.
I've been soliciting with the Richmond Times-Dispatch for a year now, and I have no incidents. I have been stuck flow of traffic. When the person come up to me, want the newspaper, I'm putting about to pull up to the shoulder lane, was one of them, the light is red. So the traffic's not moving. And like Mr. Payne said, it was in about 2 minutes for me, giving them this extra money, boom, they're gone.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if we could maybe call on Mike Sherman to give us the General Assembly's perspective on this legislation.
All right, this is special legislation for Henrico, and that was passed during this past session, not the special session.
Mr. Sherman, for the record, identify yourself and talk.
Yes, sir. Mr. Manager, Mike Sherman, I'm the legislative liaison for the County of Henrico. This issue was brought to my attention last year for our legislative action because the officer relayed a story where a mother had called and complained because her daughter, a new driver, got caught in a situation where there was a car following behind her, there was a car to the right of her, and the individual in the median was, my recollection was, inches, feet away from the driver when the light changed, and the daughter was caught in a kind of a precarious position between a pedestrian and two cars, as well as traffic in front of her. This similar legislation had been defeated in prior years because, in large part, some of the other public entities had used intersections like this for fundraising campaigns. When they recognized the public safety issue involved, they came on board, and quite honestly, this legislation actually conformed the state code. And another section of the code already prohibited the sale of plant shrubs or trees anywhere in the Commonwealth, whether it be a primary or a secondary road. So this legislation, in essence, conformed the distribution of handbills, the sale of items, et cetera. Discussion in the General Assembly largely centered around a similar issue that I heard here, and that it did not prohibit re-election activities, people showing signs. It did not impact, if you will, Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts standing on the other side of the road, advertising that they had a car wash, a bake sale, et cetera. To alleviate the public safety issue that I referenced earlier, a lot of the groups, FLCO was in support of it, the fire chiefs group, et cetera, decided that they would move their activities away from the flow of traffic because I think, as the manager probably said it best earlier, pedestrians and traffic really don't go so well together. Did I answer?
Mm-hmm. How was the vote? Both houses?
It was unanimous out of both houses, Mr.
Thank you.
I guess the dilemma would be if you allowed sale of one item, you'd have to allow sale of almost shrubs and anything else. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, you get on what lawyers would call a slippery slope, and I don't mean to get into a real diatribe here. It's not quite that easy because we acknowledge and we certainly understand, and I must say I myself have been a loyal and long customer of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. I don't say I go out in the media and buy them, but I read them every morning at home. But
the newspaper does have First Amendment rights, and we acknowledge that. And selling a newspaper, I would say, has a legal aspect that's different from selling a shrub. The commonality, though, I think it's the old expression you've heard, there's a time and a place for everything. In my humble opinion, it's a traffic safety issue that the county manager and the chief have indicated. I do respect the fact, as Mr. Silvestri says, although I've not gone to these other cities, legislative bodies may take a different view of it. But I think, again, long before my being sworn in as county attorney, this ordinance existed. The only difference was it did not cover other, it only covered the county highways. It didn't cover, as the chief indicated, where you had a state road and an intersection with a county highway. So this is not new in that sense, but again, like many things in life, when you revisit something, it brings up issues that have been lurking a long time. And I guess, as Mr. Silvestri indicates, they've been selling the paper more in more recent times from the media. But I would say, Mr. Chairman, I would not recommend, in all due respect, carving out an exemption, because I think you get into the issue, whether legal or not, you get into the political and practical issue, why are you going to exempt X and not Y and Z? And that is a hard call, I think, for a board or council to make.
Well, the ordinance specifically says, or selling of merchandise, which is pretty broad, and that's everything.
It is. Articles of commerce, in other words, newspapers, plants, shrubs, or whatever the case may be,
right.
Ice cream.
Okay.
And I also want to add that one of the reasons for this originally was that the highways that we were talking about are highly trafficked and are high speed, generally 45 miles an hour or higher. And again, getting to the safety issue, that was part of the problem that I know the calls that I got were, the person might still be standing there when the light changed, and as you heard, the young lady who was an earlier new driver said that she didn't know whether to start and go forward because the person behind her was beeping. And sometimes these people would get delayed in the road, you know, but there's a high speed limit. And now we had gone to the General Assembly just because these were the roads that we were particularly concerned about. I go right back to, because of that, even if it's just that reason, I think it's very important for safety if you're selling something, even if it's a newspaper, that if they could pull off into a side driveway or something, and knowing they can always pull into that lane and pull back out on the highway or the roadway, that would be much safer for all involved. So.
All right, again, I'd like to remind you that this is a public hearing, and is there anybody else in the audience who's not had an opportunity to bring their views forward? Yes, sir.
You need to come forward, sir. There's a record being created, so we need you to identify yourself as well as come to the microphone.
My name is Rick Moore. I'm a resident of the Tuckahoe District. And I had a question, really, not so much a statement. The title of this ordinance implies to me that the purpose of your visit to a median is meaningful in some way. I'm curious as to why someone standing with an inflammatory sign and not selling anything, but making an inflammatory statement, you know, this is just an example, in the middle of a median might end up impeding traffic. In other words, why does the purpose make as much of a difference as it appears to here?
Would you like to address that, Mr. Remsen?
Let me try to do that, Mr. Manager. Again, this section of the code sort of is only dealing with, as you said, distributing handbills, soliciting contributions. You get into fine lines of constitutional law, to tell you the truth, and commercial speech, for example, does not have the level of legal protection than does non-commercial speech. So, for example, political speech is high on the scale of values, and you'll see that legislatures often have hands off in terms of how you regulate, say, political signs. I can't give you, in all honesty, a flat-out yes or no, black and white answer to this kind of thing. I can only tell you that in Rico County, and I know this having served as county attorney and had the privilege to do that for many years, and I really do consider it a privilege, has gone way beyond, I think, has done a really good job of trying to respect the First Amendment rights of all of its citizens, whether it's a newspaper publisher, a lady that has a message of whatever type, political, religious, whatever it may be. You try to balance that, of course, with the safety of pedestrians and motorists and its people. And so, I mean, I can't really get more precise than that for you. The purpose of this legislation here before the board tonight, again, is to promote and protect the safety, traffic safety is the whole, what this is all about. And that's the best I can tell.
Well, you're saying this ordinance doesn't pertain to that type of activity.
It does not deal with just
right.
holding up a sign, Mr. Cackley,
right.
posting a sign. There are other ordinances, however, of the county, of course, in the zoning ordinance, and I cannot relay you the litany of that tonight,
right.
That have certain regulations.
Right.
But
okay.
this section is not dealing with signage.
Okay.
Okay. Perhaps I made a poor choice in an example. If I was handing ice cream to passing motorists or something like that, I'm not distributing handbills. I'm not soliciting donations, anything like that. I'm just giving away something for free. I can create quite a stir. I could have attractive women doing it in bikinis or something like that. The point I'm making is that I could still impede the flow of traffic without entering these particular areas that we're talking about. Is this not a more of a generic safety issue, regardless of why the person is standing there, or should I just sit down?
I think that was addressed back in the last time they addressed the sound ordinance, and I wish I could remember how it was broached. But holding the sign, I think we had a case that went to court and went all the way to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, I believe, with an individual that held signs on the side of the road. And the court upheld that as long as you hold the sign, you were all right, but you couldn't set the signs there and move up and down the traffic flow. But I don't believe that a sign has been signed as a public safety issue, has it, Mr. Rappaporta?
Well, the United States Supreme Court, Mr. Glover, has said that localities can prohibit signs on the public right-of-way because of the visual clutter, the distraction, the drivers. And in fact, in Rico County at one time, well, in fact, we still do have certain prohibitions. I think the gentleman's point is not everything. There can be activities that happen in the street that aren't outlawed by this ordinance. I would agree with that. I mean, I don't think we're on a mission here to make every possible thing illegal. By the same token, we're trying to deal with something that's been in the county code for many years to improve it, and that's the best answer I can give you. I mean, people will maybe stand in a median, they go jog, and they're crossing the road. I don't think the chief of police is going to go out there and give them a citation because they're standing there maybe talking to their friend who stopped at a red light. So, Joe, what are you doing here? Well, I'm jogging up to Deep Run Park. I mean, there's got to be a reasonable common sense balance here as well. And I think that's what the board has done before and what they're trying to do tonight.
I'm curious, though, with Mr. Moore's example of a nice-looking woman in a bikini handing out ice cream, would that be illegal?
Well,
standing in the median.
I think we'd have to deal, Ms. O'Bannon, to answer that with this section. I don't know that it would violate this section on its terms. There may be other state laws that the chief and his staff are much more familiar because, again, I'm not a prosecutor as such, and there are traffic laws that pertain to going on the street when you're not a driver or... And Chief, I don't know if you want to elaborate, but there are
defined as a traffic distraction.
Yeah.
Well, if you're distributing handbells, that's one thing, but if you're distributing ice cream,
well,
prices,
free ice cream.
More
no, I'm just curious to keep on.
Gotta have a cooler with me or something.
Most likely, if you had either of those circumstances, you would be backing up traffic. So the individual who is driving a car would probably be cited for impeding the flow of traffic.
Impeding the flow of traffic, okay.
Impeding, yep.
Okay. All right. We're
comments.
Yeah. All right. Some anybody else have comments? Any other board members have questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman, seeing no other comments from the audience or the board members, as I've indicated and has been advised, I have for your consideration substitute ordinance for the ordinance prohibiting the distribution of literature, solicitation of contributions, and the sale of merchandise on county highways. The only difference is to add the definition of highway to clearly specify the areas in which prohibited activities may not occur. I have labeled the substitute ordinance as agenda item 232A-08. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, do you wish to consider voting on the substitute ordinance?
Okay. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move we substitute ordinance 232A-08 for the ordinance, which is agenda item 232-08.
Okay.
Second.
All right, motion by Mr. Denai to substitute ordinance 232A-08 for the 232-08.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Any comments? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, that ordinance is substituted. Is there a motion on the substitution ordinance?
Chairman, I move we approve substitute ordinance 232A-08.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Donati and second by Ms. O'Bannon that the board approve substitute ordinance 232A-08. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. And that ordinance is carried.
Mr. Manager, when does this go into effect?
It's in effect immediately, Ms. O'Bannon, upon adoption. Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, still under your public hearing agenda for this evening. 233-08. This is an ordinance to amend and reordain subsection D of section 22-113 of the Code of the County, titled Weight Limits for Specific Streets. This is to restrict through truck traffic on Strath Road. Mr. Priestess.
Yes, sir, Mr. Manager. This is a continuation of the introduction of the ordinance that occurred on July 22nd at the board meeting, this being a public hearing to consider a weight restriction on Strath Road between Route 5 and Darbytown Road, primarily for safety reasons because of curvature in the road.
We've approved such changes before ordinance. Is this an ordinance? Yeah, it is.
Yes, sir. There's a number of roads in the county that have truck restrictions on them for various reasons. Typically because of excessive truck traffic utilizing the road.
We can legally do that because of safety concerns, the primary safety. It's not structural, I think.
I'd have to defer to the county attorney. I believe we can. It is primarily safety in the sense that the curvature of the road, particularly on Strath Road between Felspar and Kinvan, is such that large vehicles have difficulty maneuvering through there.
This is a roadway which is extremely narrow.
Okay.
It's a historic roadway. By historic, I mean an old roadway, quite frankly, which has never been improved. And what we have found is in this particular instance is the larger trucks on this roadway are actually scratching or scarring the utility poles because they can't make it around the curves. If they're doing that, we also know that they're impacting other vehicles on the same roadway, and therefore we are proposing to restrict the traffic.
It's primarily design and safety.
Yes. So.
But these trucks, there will be some that go down there anyway.
Delivery.
I mean, delivery trucks or trash trucks or whatever.
This supposedly goes to the larger semi trailer units.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I can add and bolster what the county manager said and Mr. Priest has asked, there is specific enabling legislation to allow counties to do what is being proposed to you for the reasons that the manager says.
Okay.
what's happened, Mr. Cackley, is it's a large trucking terminal not too far away, and it's not like it's the same truck drivers every day using this road. Their truckers from all over the country are coming into this terminal, and they're using the GPS system to find the quickest route over to 295. Mm-hmm. And the GPS shows them that roadway. And
there are a number of major arterial alternatives to this roadway.
Do we have to have a sign that signifies the one?
Yes, sir. Signs have been placed on my authority on a temporary basis until a decision can be made by the Board of Supervisors.
Okay. Any questions about other board members? This is a public hearing. Anybody here in the audience tonight would like to comment on these weight limits for Strath Road? Brianna?
Seeing none, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the ordinance.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Denai, second by Ms. O'Bannon to approve this ordinance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no.
Last item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, on your public hearing agenda, 234-08. This is a resolution for signatory authority, a quick claim of a portion of a drainage easement in Bellingham subdivision within the Tree Top District. Price.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager, approval of this resolution will authorize the chairman and clerk to execute a quick claim deed in a form approved by the county attorney, releasing the county's interest in a portion of a drainage easement in Bellingham development. It's at the request of H.H. Hunt, who is a developer of Bellingham, and H.H. Hunt has conveyed the necessary easements for the development of the subdivision. This portion of the drainage easement is no longer needed. Real Property has processed this request through Public Works and Planning without objection. The Departments of Public Works and Real Property recommend approval of this action.
Okay. So the county has no need for future easements here.
No, this is just a small portion of the existing easement, and other easements have been dedicated.
Okay. Any questions on board members? Anybody in the audience, public hearing here, would like to comment or question this drainage easement proposal for the Chop District? Okay.
Thank you, Ellen.
Motion.
I move approval of resolution 234-08.
Moved by Ms. O'Bannon. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed no. And that resolution is approved. And that brings us to the general agenda.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, brings us to the time of public comments.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we're going to skip that. Okay. This is also a time set aside for anybody in the audience, public comments, who would like to address the board on any other matter that hasn't been on the agenda tonight. Yes, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Jim Hayes. I'm an attorney representing Howard Construction and Nice Brothers on a bid that they have made for...
Mr. Hayes, yeah. Excuse me, sir, with all due respect, that is an agenda item, which is 240-08, which will come up in just a few moments.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just wanted to keep the whole subject together, so
yes, sir.
We don't
I appreciate that. I thought this was...
I'm sorry.
Well, this was set aside for people to address the board on other issues not on the agenda tonight. So, does anybody here would like to do that? Okay, let's move into the general agenda, Mr. Manager.
Moving into your general agenda, your first item is 235-08. This is a resolution for authorization of the Sister City-County Agreement with Yangju City within the Republic of Korea. Ms. Harper will present this to you.
Good evening. You may remember that in July, the last work session in July, I did make a presentation. We had a joint work session with the Board of Supervisors and the school board in which we brought forth to you recommendations that after our Shin visited Yangju City, there were many new ideas that we received there, and there were many opportunities for exchange, for cultural exchange. Our recommendation to you was to sign the Sister City County Agreement so that we can go forth into the future to learn from each other. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Okay, well, I think the board is very familiar with this subject, and Mr. Donati started this process when they visited here last year, and we followed up with a visit earlier this summer, and
It looks like a great relationship that we can both gain by, and we've had a good review of it, and the future looks like it would be enhanced by this relationship for them and for us.
Yeah.
So if anybody on the board has any comments or a motion, that we'll...
Move approval of the resolution.
Second.
All right, moved by Mr. O'Bannon, and second by Mr. Denati, that we approve this relationship agreement. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That's good. And I guess we'll pass that on to Andrew. And
we will. We've actually sent the document to them for review and consideration. This authorizes the actual signatures to take place, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, they've passed such a resolution, I guess.
They're going to, they have already reviewed the resolution. They're going to prepare it in Korean and also in English, and then they're going to send it to us already signed. Okay.
Very good. Thank you.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 236-08. This is a resolution. This is for the creation of the 2011 Celebration Advisory Commission. If you remember, Ms. Harper made a presentation to you. This actually creates the commission, the 2011 commission, and it also designates a number of units who would provide individuals, as well as signifying that you would be appointing those individuals as well as certain individuals, which she'll explain to you. Go ahead, Ms. Harper. I'm not looking at the paper, so I'll let you do it.
Well, 397 years ago, our Henrico town was founded and settled by English settlers. And it's about time to celebrate our 400th anniversary of that very special event. And as you know, in the work session I presented, a task force appointed by the county manager had made recommendations for the responsibilities of that commission and recommended the types of knowledge that should compose the members of that commission. There would be 14 members of the commission. Most of them are appointed by organizations. As you can see, the paper has them listed. I'll be glad to list them if you have questions about that. The terms of office would be from their appointment, which is probably going to be the second meeting in September, if you do create the commission, to December 31st, 2011. So this is a long appointment.
It's also would appoint individuals representing special interests.
Yes, sir. And those special interests would be a Civil War expert, a county historian, a Native American, a tourism expert, and a former county government official. And there are 9 organizations that would be asked to make appointments also.
Is there a total of 14 members?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We may have covered that in our work session, but...
Yes, sir.
Recall seeing that list. Is it name individuals or is it?
No, sir. This paper only lists interest areas and committees. What will happen if this paper is approved is that tomorrow a letter will go to the organizations asking them to appoint individuals, and then we will be continuing to work with you on who the best experts would be in the 5 areas that I just listed.
Mm-hmm. So we should complete this in our board meeting in September.
Yes, sir. Our intention is to bring you all of these names hopefully by September the 9th. There may be some vacancies, but we intend to have you consider appointing these individuals on September the 9th.
Okay. Does the board actually have the ability to appoint individual? Each one of us?
No, sir. That option, the task force, as you may remember, recommended this approach instead of appointing one person from each district. I know that is typically the trend, but because this area requires historical expertise and does require a cross-section of historical perspectives and cultural perspectives, we suggested that committees such as the Board of Supervisors would be the chairman. A representative of your group would be the chairman, school board, the Historic Preservation Advisory Committee, the Library Advisory Board, the Henrico County Historical Society, the Association for the Preservation of Henrico Antiquities, the Henrico Education Foundation, Virginia Randolphton, and the African American Heritage Culture Committee would be the organizations. From what we know of the leadership of these organizations, there will probably easily be someone from every district that was represented on this committee, but the interest areas and the expertise and knowledge and actually trying to get the support of these committees I would call it, buy-in to helping us do the work that will need to be done to put on a year-long schedule is what the intent was of these appointments.
All right. Any other questions by board members? Did we have a motion?
Not yet.
No.
All
right. I move approval of the resolution.
Second.
Moved by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Thornton, that we approve this resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no.
And I'd like to say I've been working on this since 1986.
My goodness.
I'm so glad to see this happen.
Next item, Ms. Chairman, members of the board, 237-08. This is a resolution for award of contract for architecture and engineering services for the Government Center exterior lighting phase two.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this resolution would award a contract in the amount of $50,000 to Wiley & Wilson Incorporated for the necessary design services in connection with improvements to exterior lighting phase two at the Government Center. You may recall that similar improvements were made directly from the administration building a couple of years ago, and that has now become the standard we would like to implement for the Government Center. This contract will provide design services for improvements at the front of the courthouse and on Prince Henry Road from Hungry Spring to Parham Road.
Move the resolution.
Second.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. All right. I have a motion by Mr. Glover and second by Ms. O'Bannon to approve this award of contract resolution. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Item 238-08 is a resolution for signatory authority. This is for change order number 5 to the construction contract for the Babs House renovation.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this resolution would authorize the county manager to execute change order number 5 in the amount of $164,879 with the construction contract with Daniel & Company Incorporated, who is performing construction services at Babs House Road, at Babs House structure. This is primarily for exterior improvements to the facility. And we do recommend that it covers such things as restoration of exterior windows, exterior touch-up painting, wood shutter repairs, and similar activities. Funding is available to support the contract, and to support the amendment, we do recommend.
Is it complete?
Just about, Mr. Denai. We would expect a final completion in September.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Well, we have a motion by Mr. Thornton.
Second by Glover on this
side. All right. All in
favor
say aye. Aye. Both no. The resolution is carried.
Item 239-08 is a resolution for signatory authority. This is for amendment number 4, the contract for architecture and engineering services. This is, of course, for the continuation of what you just reviewed for Dabbs House renovation.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this is, as Mr. Hayes indicates, the companion amendment to the design contract, which provides for 3 months additional contract administration in the amount of $10,708. And funding is available. We do recommend it to you.
Move resolution.
Second.
All right, moved by Mr. Denai, second by Ms. O'Bannon to approve this resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. And
next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 240-08. This is a resolution for award of construction contract for the concession and restroom facility at Byrd Middle School. If you remember, Mr. Hayes is here and wishes to speak to this item.
Okay.
Would you like me to present? Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this resolution would award a contract to Norman Company Incorporated, the lowest responsible bid in the amount of $448,289 for the construction of a 1,760-square-foot building at Byrd Middle School, immediately adjacent to the football field, to provide restrooms, a concession area, and a storage facility. As the board is aware, I have declared the apparent low bidder, being Howard Construction Incorporated / Nice Brothers Incorporated, non-responsive to the specifications due to what we believe are 7 distinct irregularities or deviations from the specifications. I'll just very briefly summarize those. The bid was not signed. Secondly, although the bid lists Howard Construction Incorporated, Nice Brothers Incorporated as the bidder, only Howard Construction submitted the required contractor's qualification statement. Thirdly, the registration information in the bid, that is that which seeks the registration number as a registered Virginia contractor, only identifies one entity and not two. Fourth, Howard Construction and Nice Brothers are not identified as a joint venture in the bid, but simply the two names, so we could not tell who the bidder actually is based on the face of the bid form. In addition, there is an attachment B to the specifications that specifically relate to school sites, which requires the contractor to execute an affidavit which speaks to the direct contact with students during the construction of the work. And in this case, there's only one name signed by a representative of Howard Construction, but not of Nice Construction, by Nice Construction. The bid bond, the bid security, is in the name and signed by a representative of Nice Brothers, but not Howard, nor the joint venture. And lastly, the contract form that is to indicate that it is, in fact, a joint venture was submitted after the fact, and the form that it is written on is actually a joint venture for professional services, and, of course, this is a contract for construction. So based on all of those, what we believe to be deviations from the specifications, I have ruled that Howard Construction, the Nice Brothers Incorporated, is non-responsive, and we recommend award to the next low bidder or the lowest responsive and responsible bidder.
Okay, you've had a conversation, I guess, with Howard Construction on their bid being non.
I have, yes, sir. Mr. Howard contacted me immediately after he heard that we had some difficulties with the bid, right. And I posed some questions to him, including, you know, who would actually perform the work, and his indication was that both firms would, and of course, I'm looking for a single legal entity that the board can award a contract to, and the intent, I think, was to submit a bid in behalf of a joint venture. In my opinion, however, that was not done. It was really done by two separate names on the bid form, and I could not tell whether it was one or the other or both that was submitting the bid offer, in addition to the other issues that I described.
But you did have this back and forth.
I did, yes, sir.
Thank you. Any other question by board members? This is not a public hearing, but I guess Mr. Hayes, you all had some comments.
Yes, sir, if I may.
All right, we'll give you
I'll be very brief.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager. My name is Jim Hayes, and I'm attorney representing Nice Brothers and Howard Construction, a joint venture. And I'm not here to disagree with what staff has said. It is quite true that the bid that was proposed wasn't put together in the right format. However, the State Procurement Act provides for a waiver of informalities, is what they call it, when folks have not signed properly, have not attached maybe the correct form, as long as the item does not affect four things: the price, the quantity, the quality, or the delivery schedule. As long as it doesn't affect those things, they can be considered informalities, and the awarding body has the power to waive the informalities. Of course, I'm asking you to waive the informalities in this instance because my client wants to do the project, but also the county can save $20,000 as my joint venture group was lower than the next bidder. So I'm asking the county to do something for itself and to do something for a joint venture that can build this project very effectively, very efficiently for the county. And I ask that you exercise your authority of waiver to waive these informalities and allow the joint venture to be awarded this contract. Be pleased to answer any questions.
All right. Any questions by board members?
Well, what we've heard from Mr. Proto is he doesn't feel this is something that's just an informality. I guess that's the best way to put it. Is that right, Mr. Proto? Do you want to?
Mr. Bannon, Mr. Hayes, of course, is correct in that we do have the legal ability to waive things as informalities, to waive items if provided they are informality. And a couple of thoughts on that. First, the code, of course, does not require one to waive something because it isn't, it's an informality permissible, but does not require it. However, without debating each of the seven items I mentioned, I think some probably one could debate that it is informality, others not. However, I just simply went down to the bottom line, and that is a cumulative effect of the seven items, even if some are informalities, and I believe that arguably some could be considered to be informalities. But the sum total of all of those deviations are such that we do not believe that if they were informalities, they should be waived. And secondly, we do believe that some of them are not. For example, of course, now we're discussing it's a joint venture, but on the face of the bid form, I could not tell, one cannot tell who the bidder actually is. There are two names, that does not make a joint venture. I don't believe that's an informality because that goes to the heart of who the bidder is, and therefore there is no single entity to hold accountable. So, Ms. O'Bannon, I think while one could argue that some are informalities, bottom line, I think the cumulative total is such that I do believe that the bidder is non-responsive and should be ruled as such.
Can I respond briefly?
Yes.
The code has defined an informality, and it is an item of the contract which does not go to the price, the quantity, the quality, or delivery schedule. And I'm sure your county attorney will tell you all about that. But with that criteria, I believe that these are informalities and that you have the power to save the county $20,000 if you choose to exercise it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes. All right. Ms. Berto, do these contractors or construction and Nice Brothers have any history of contracts with Henrico?
Yes, sir. I know we have done business with Howard, and I believe we've done business with Nice as well.
But not in combination, perhaps?
No, sir. In fact, I don't recall a bid of this nature that has been submitted as a joint venture. It's typically one firm.
Okay. Any other question by board members?
Mr. Chairman, I think there was a question by one of the Boy Scouts. Probably ought to let him make it.
All right. You can just...
It's rare we get a participation by young people.
Yeah, good. All right. Give us your name again.
Hi, my name is Michael Moore, and I'm actually from Bird Middle School.
Yeah.
And I'll just say something real brief. I'm just saying for the things with the restrooms, especially, that it's okay if you guys don't have to do this really, but it's sometimes nice for some of the people there to have automatic, dispensers of the waste. Because, you do not want to see someone else's stuff in there. It's staying back right at you.
Okay.
It's disgusting. I think it'd be a lot better, I just want to say that. Thanks.
Well, you're in favor of a project that's designed correctly and built correctly, and no matter who builds it, right?
Thank you.
Oh, I know how important this is for the restroom facility out there,
Better check the design there. Is that okay?
Very good.
One way or the other.
All right. Anything else, Mr. Proto?
No, sir, not on this side.
All right. Board members, any other decisions there?
Mm-hmm. Basically, some of the block building was the roof and some restrooms.
Yeah.
That is pretty much it.
Well, storage area, concession stand is included, with some...
Yeah. Well, it's a similar block building on a slab of concrete.
It's very similar to other such facilities recreation has around the town.
Right. It's about $240 or $250 per square foot, if I figure it in that range.
You've got a pretty nice house for $150 per square foot.
You better be. Okay.
Well, the concern that I have really is reflected in what Mr. Proto said, in that I can tell you, having sent my tax forms in early one time and failing to sign it, I immediately got them back because the federal government said if you don't sign it, that means it's not complete. It's not, you put your signature on it, your word is your bond, and that means that, you really mean it. I'm concerned when anybody fails to sign a contract and then also accidentally leaves off that they've got a joint venture. I think it shows, I hate to say it, but it shows that maybe they're not paying attention to details. And having built an addition to my house where a similar type thing happened, and then I had to go to a lot of trouble to go back and get some things fixed. I shouldn't use that as an example because this is not the company that did that. But I'd like to move the resolution as recommended by Mr. Proto's office for the Norman Company.
Okay.